Fire it up.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
All right, that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
Pizza, pizza.
Just swinging in the breeze.
Yeah!
Showtime! Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that a link it bad. For the streaming, go direct to DLNGS.org. And IRC channels and LinuxLink.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the castle's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 810 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
Finally stopped raining.
Yeah, we have Joel.
Yo.
And we have Joe.
Still got a sunburn.
Through the rain?
Well, Saturday it rained. Sunday I went out and did the yard work. And because I spent like 4 or 5 hours doing yard work, I'm a little crispy.
Oh, nice. Boy.
So before I get too far afield, probably come back to the topic that you started to open up there, Joel, right before in the pre-show stuff. Your posting of that $99 tablet
on
the MIUI channel, and Welsh Lad had put the comment, you know, is it slow loading pages? To which, you know, I don't think
I didn't buy it, but
I don't think you got one. But I would almost probably say, absolutely, this thing is going to be slow loading.
Well, it's a really good question. It's a 1.3 gigahertz quad core with 2 gigs of RAM and 16 gig of storage. It's running Android 9. Okay, so the latest Android, and it's probably about as far as it's going to go. It's a $99 tablet. It comes with a keyboard dock.
They still make tablets that only have 16 gigabyte of internal storage.
Yeah, see that. Yeah, that's questionable. Let me see. 16 gigabyte internal storage will be just fine as long as you've got a micro SD card, which it doesn't say if it does or not. So I would not suspect that it does. If it does, though. Holy crap, it even has 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi in it. So usually the cheap-ass devices don't have that. So
yeah, but ain't nothing on 5 gigahertz. Oh, wait, I'm thinking of 5G.
Thinking 5G.
I'm thinking of 5G, not 5.
Right.
Wrong thing.
And it doesn't look like they customize it so it works with a full desktop interface, kind of like Remix did. And because it looks like just a straight-up plain vanilla Android on it. With the Play Store. So.
See, what concerns me is what, and I know I have it around here still, but remember, it must have been about 5 years ago, right after the tablet phase broke, there was that $99 cheap tablet that we all ended up picking up. Peter 64 had some, and remember that? That $99 Chinese knockoff.
What was it, like a Chewy or something? I don't remember
Hold on. Let me see if it's over here. But, like, pretty much all of us, I think, got one. Oh, man. I don't know what I did with it.
I wouldn't have got one.
Because they were dirt cheap. Is it... Anyway,
and technically that's not the only one that Walmart has now. They also have a 8-inch tablet for $64 and a 10-inch one for $79 without the keyboard.
Well, see, that my thought on that is, again, so there was that $99 tablet. I've played around right. with like the Fire tablets that are $139, which are kind mm-hmm. of subsidized between $100 and
$139. Right.
And my experience with all those devices is they've always been like subpar. Just,
right.
There's not enough.
I wouldn't expect not the ONN to be
storage. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or it's, and it's slow as hell.
Yeah, the ONN ones I would not expect to be screamers because I mean ONN is like the cheapest ass shit at Walmart. I mean it's I mean it's not they're not built well. They feel cheap. The RCA ones are almost better in quality, and they ain't that much better in quality either, to be honest. But it's interesting. Yeah, I kind of well, a lot of people question because the Android tablet market is pretty much moribund. Even the iPad market is getting there too. You know, it's not you know the you know they're still making iPads, of course, but and people are still. Are still silly enough to go buy one like the iPad Pros and stuff, but the large amount most people aren't even bothering with tablets anymore. They're just using their phone, and especially since phones are what 6 inches on average nowadays, you know. But we'll see. And the other question that I have too is, have you heard anything about Huawei, Dan?
I'm familiar with them, yes.
Yeah. Well, Huawei, they make their own phones, and they also make the Honor devices are also a Huawei brand. The American government has basically said that they are no longer allowed to do business with any American companies at all and pretty much banned them from the country. And this is because of suspected espionage. Done by, you know, and stuff built into the Huawei devices. And the fallout from that kind of continues in that Qualcomm has said they won't do business with them. The ARM company who licenses the ARM chipset out, Huawei has been making their own chipset, the Kirin chipset. ARM has basically said they're not going to work with Huawei on Kirin anymore. I assume they're pulling their license from them for Kirin. So they're pretty much, if they want to continue to make devices, they're going to have to go and buy something like a MediaTek processor or like a ROC chip might work in it too. But to further that, though, Google has pulled. Now, this is kind of my beef with a lot of the media now is the media are saying a lot of the blogs and even places like Forbes is saying that Google has pulled their Android license. Not exactly 100% entirely true. They can't get any assistance from Google in making their own version of Android. They can't Google won't let them push out updates. Now, granted, this has been suspended for 90 days, so they have 90 days to fix whatever the problem is. But basically, if you have a Huawei device, they will continue to function. They will still be able to update apps from the Google Play Store. But if this becomes permanent, what will happen is they won't be able to ship devices with the Google Play Store or Play services. They can, of course, use AOSP, which is licensed under the Apache license. What makes me wonder and how it's kind of related to the ONN thing, because I'm sure this ONN device is made in China. and whether I have no idea that whether this one actually, whether the ONN devices use the Gorilla Glass, I know the Huawei devices do, so they can't even get their glass anymore because they're from it's Gorilla Glass from Corning. Okay. One other thing I did hear about this is that Huawei had prior to this, they kind of knew this was coming, but prior to this, Huawei had stocked 3 months worth of supplies for devices. So they have 3 months worth of screens, 3 months worth of everything. So they, in the near term, they're not very affected. If you have a Huawei device, it'll continue to function. Now, from my standpoint, am I completely in agreement with the government? Being that what has been said. And there's actually Huawei's a lot deeper too, because they don't just sell phones and laptops. They sell phones, laptops. They have everything. They have a huge telecom presence in telecom facilities. They're one of the few makers of 5G components for the 5th generation cell networks. So you know, it could potentially impact more than just Huawei as we go forward. Now, from a cell phone and laptop standpoint, I'd have never bought a Huawei device, mostly because I don't trust them. The same reason why the federal government doesn't trust them anymore. So, you know, my thoughts are they'll survive, but whether they'll actually have a presence at all in America will be unlikely. And from what I've also heard too, Europe is also starting to not carry Huawei devices.
Well, I never really had a problem with Huawei. I mean, are they sending information back to China? I do not know.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I don't trust them, so you know, I'm not going to obviously buy one. But they generally have been cheaper devices, too.
Now they're talking about building their own operating system. They should give serious thought to just making a Linux phone.
That's an idea. They could also do like in a
Sailfish.
Yeah, you know, or maybe resuscitate Tizen's a Samsung
right and Tizen's thing. Still active, isn't it? They're using it in
yes.
their watches and
yes.
small, and they're talking about eventually putting it in their phones.
Well, and this goes further back too. When you talk about just about any kind of company, one big reason you might want to go with making a Linux phone, which is something I would absolutely love to see, is this kind of reason. Well, and yeah, correct. But is this kind of reason? Because yeah, now a lot of people say, oh, they're done for. They can continue to build AOSP based devices. They just can't have the Play Store on there. Unfortunately, the Play Store
right.
is what
they can
makes
have.
It
they can
nice.
Have Open Android on there. They
correct.
Can even they can't sell it with gaps, but they can post the different ways of sideloading gaps for free.
That well makes me wonder though how useful that would be, because technically if I don't know how well that works anymore.
it used to work just fine with rooted and ROMed phones. I mean, they didn't come with gaps because nobody could put it on there, and then you just sideloaded it and everything works.
Yeah, and it's been a while. I know me and Pat, we used to root the hell out of our G1 because we had
right.
to.
Right. I mean, I've had devices. I think the Note 3, I had it for 2 days before I rooted and ROMed it because of what Android did with how they accessed SD cards. It made having a micro SD card in the thing completely useless.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of that G1, Pat, I actually still have mine.
Before the show, we were talking about MeWe, and Danny had asked a couple of questions, and one of them was, did I want to meet up at Texas Linux Fest? The answer is yes, sure, absolutely. I'll probably be at the local LUG table most of the day, both that Friday and Saturday. Anybody wants to stop by and come see me and say hi, please do. And also, he asked about one of my favorite devices, the Asus T100 TAF, and whether or not you could load Linux on there. And the answer is yes. Yes, you can. I posted a link for a write-up on it in the group chat where he asked. And essentially, all it is getting a USB stick, loading a 64-bit operating system on there, mounting it and replacing the boot.ini with a 32-bit boot.ini, which you can download from just about anywhere.
G- Good answer. I wasn't sure about that, but that's a good answer.
I thought I had brought it to the show several times. I like putting Linux on the T100 TA line, and it's fairly easy to do.
That makes me wonder, not to go back to the cheap-ass devices that Walmart has, but they have several Windows devices,
the RCA
lines. It makes me wonder if those would run Linux.
They probably would. I mean, fairly easily. And anything that runs a full version of Windows will probably easily run Linux. I mean, there's a couple of devices there that really have the booting sequence locked down, but sooner or later somebody finds a way.
Cool. Cool. And mostly because it was brought up in the chat, Southeast Linux Fest registration and the schedule has now been posted. I have not registered yet, but it will be probably next week. I'll probably get my register in because I'm going to pay the $50 to get the t-shirt and all that stuff. But the really cool part, though, is that Murph said in the IRC that he's going to be at SELF. So that's cool. I'll see you there, Murph. Planning on going there. I should be able to do that. Rich is in IRC, but has he actually come in? So, no. Doesn't sound like it.
No, I don't think he has.
SELF is June, 14th, 15th, 16th, I think? It's exactly how many days? Let me look at my watch. It's 22 days until I head down, which I start to head down on the 13th.
Yeah,
We don't have a stream anymore, do we?
Yeah.
For the show?
Yeah,
can you pop that in the IRC? Murph is asking if there's no stream.
I told him it's back up.
Okay.
It was down. I didn't. Like, not a lot of people connect to it anymore because that main mirror is gone.
Right.
So
Murph, we'll have to meet up.
Yeah, June 14th through the 16th is Southeast Linux Fest.
I haven't even looked at. I kind of glanced at the schedule, but I haven't really looked at it too much yet. I need to. Because I want to plan what talks I want to go to. It seemed to me, though, that it looked like the Friday schedule is much more packed than it was last year.
Could be. So, Joel,
take a look
at the calendar, at the date, and can you tell me what time it is? What time is it for me to talk about, Joel? Can you guess? Can you guess?
No idea.
Come on, look at the calendar.
It's March 22nd.
Yeah.
May 22nd, sorry.
May 22nd what?
2019.
So what do you think I'm going to talk about?
No clue.
Oh, you're going to love it, right? Yeah. All right, so... It's been over a year now, and surprisingly, my Ruizy MP3 player still works.
Wow!
It still works. Now, see, this is where we get into this is a first world problem here. Like, it still works, but like a month and a half ago, I broke the clip on it, right? And I
didn't have a clip on?
Yeah, there's no more clip. Like, I can't fix it because
Joel can 3D print you a clip.
He could. I mean, I guess, but I've tried, you know, so it doesn't just quite work right. So I'm like
Dan, we don't want to hear about your personal problems.
Right. So I'm like,
we're just happy you can get it up. If it doesn't work right once you get it up, that's okay.
That's what she said.
That's the thing. So I'm like, ever since the clip Plus gone, or the Clip Zip Plus, I think was it, the last one. Ever since they switched over, like, every single one of these devices has pretty much sucked, in my opinion.
What are you doing in the Stone Age? Here's what you need to do. You get yourself a Tizen watch, and it plays audio from the watch. And it does your heartbeat, and, you know...
He'd have to have a phone that wasn't from the Stone Ages to use that, probably.
Well, okay, so here's my thing, right? You remember that...
You know, keep your thing to yourself. Jeez, Dan.
Remember that the post that you had made, I think it was in the MeWe channel, about that... Or was that on Discord about that media player?
Oh, that one I posted? No, it was on MeWe.
Yeah, so I looked at that.
Not Google Plus, not Stone Tablet.
So I looked at that.
Or my favorite method of communication is the note in the bottle, but in Morse code.
Yeah, let the man talk.
What was it? What was that called? Do you remember?
I'm looking right now.
Yeah, so I looked at that and I was like, man. So a couple of things I thought about it was it looks featureful. It looks nice. It's got kind of a $99 price tag, right? So it's a little on the expensive side, but I'm sure it works great. The thing I didn't like about it is when I saw a picture of it, it was like the size of that person's hand. So, that when you look at these Sansa...
And Dan likes little things.
Yeah, so you look at the Sansa Clip thing. It's almost a little bit like size-wise
about
the
Dan's little things.
Size of a postage stamp, right? Not thickness, but just the dimension.
Now you're talking girth. Holy cow, Dan!
Girth.
Yeah, get your mind out of the gutter.
So there was my biggest beef with these devices these days is the OS they put on there. Number one, it doesn't integrate the SD card with the storage, the internal storage, which is not that bad of a deal, because they used to have like separate directories and you can go and put stuff like I listen to podcasts and music and you could listen to your podcast, you could listen to your music and they wouldn't combine and it would put the,
And I'm looking at it now.
Yeah.
IRULUF20. I'll paste a link in the IRC in the chat.
Yeah, it's expensive. Spends like over $100. But so they don't combine the two. You have a 2,000 song database limit for both the internal device storage and the external SD card storage. So 4,000 songs, but two separate databases of 2,000 is what you can have.
On this thing or on the Sansa stuff?
Oh, on the stuff that's come out, like pretty much all the devices that have come out since the Clip Zip was discontinued. They all have the same like chipset and similar OS that's on them with the same functionality. Like the one thing that I would absolutely want, but I'm not talking about the one that you had posted that's like $100. That's completely different. But the one thing that I really used to take advantage of that the Clip Zip did that no device since has is if I'm listening to a podcast or whatever and I accidentally bump it to the next one or previous one, if I go back to it, the one that I was listening to, it'll pick up where it left off. So it kind of has like auto bookmark feature. It gives you the option to resume or to restart from the beginning. Like since then, it's never... Like, none of the devices have had this functionality, and it really kind of bums me out because it's handy, especially when you listen to, like, an insanely long podcast, like Hardcore History, which is, like, four-plus hours. It's not reasonable like our show, right? It's not like our show is, like, an hour and a half, so that's pretty long. So I've listened to some shows.
Can you listen to – I was going to say, can you listen to that in a sped-up form on the Sansa stuff?
I think you can. I never tried. But
I know most like podcatchers should have that bookmarking feature, right?
Well, if you have a podcatcher, if you have a playback application on your phone or something, yeah, they do. And so they did have bookmarkings, but what I'm saying is
it's a good thing I just posted that MP3 player.
Galaxy 5.
Yeah. Which is an actual MP3 player as opposed to a phone. but uses Android apps.
Right. Now, with that IRULU, Dan, that thing has both headphone jack, which is a feature nowadays. It has a line
and Bluetooth.
So you can hook it up to Bluetooth in your car. And it's also made out of freaking metal.
Now hold on a second, right? So I'm getting to my point why I don't like this Ruiz device. I mean, it's all right, but it has that same limitation that they all have. And I frequently bump the button, and then I gotta try and fast forward. And when you're fast forwarding through a show,
dude, again with the innuendo, bumping the button. Holy cow!
Yeah. So I went out on a limb. And looking at different devices, I was like, all right, I settled upon this. It's called the Sulker.
Are you telling me you got an iPod?
No, I didn't get an iPod.
Are you going to tell me that?
It's called it's a brand I never heard of before called Sulker. And it had good reviews. And I saw some reviews outside. But it had bookmarking and resume feature. But I wasn't sure if it had that exact feature that I was looking for. And I'll tell you right now. It doesn't. But when this device came, what was nice about it is that it advertised it with its own, like, it came with a armband that you could use it with. So instead of having to buy a case, it came with an armband. And I was like, okay, whatever. I didn't see a case. I've used the armbands in the past. They're all right. They're a little tight on my bicep, but we'll do it. So when the device came, the packaging it was in was really nice. I was surprised. It looked like a cell phone packaging. And when I pulled it out, I was equally surprised. I was thinking it was going to be like that Insignia device I had before, which was about the size of two.
Which I might add, Sansa clips. My Insignia devices.
Yeah. This device,
those were great.
Yeah, this device is a lot bigger. It is like 3.5-4 inches tall and about 2 inches wide, 1.5-2 inches wide, and it's metal with glass. So I was kind of like, maybe it comes with a lanyard, but no, this thing is heavy, and I don't think I'd want it hanging around my neck. It's nice. It has a very big display screen, which for my aging eyes works very well. And it has so it doesn't have a touchpad, right, on the screen, but the bottom part of it is a touchpad. So the controls are like touchpad control. And what really I like about this device is that unlike the hardware buttons that are on the clips and stuff like that and similar devices, when I turn the screen off, like when I'm listening to something and then press the power button to turn the screen off so that it's not, you can't really touch it, I can bump these buttons and it won't do anything, which is very nice. So I don't have the tendency to accidentally bump and move to a different file and then have to go back again. So it just arrived on Monday. I'm giving it the go, going through its paces. I've been listening to some stuff on it. Music works great. One of the nice things it has, similar to what you were saying about the IRULU, which is, you know, like, what, $100? This thing was $39, I think it was, is what it was.
So, Dan, where did you find this?
It's on Amazon.
All right, you know how, so
Let me finish this one thing. So it has audio jack out, Bluetooth headphone compatibility, and it also has a speaker out on it. Now, a speaker out on it isn't really that good, but it's there if you absolutely needed it. Now, what was your question, Rich?
You know how AliExpress has like a boatload of all sorts of stuff that nobody ever wants, or, you know, that you didn't know you wanted? I'm shocked that there isn't, like, you know, 20-year-old MP3 player technology there, like, man. Don't you think that'd be fertile ground for a product like that?
Which product?
You know, just, like, like you talk about the Sansa Zip, like a clone of, you know, the Sansas that you used to destroy on a regular basis.
Sansa Clip?
Clip Zip and the Clip Plus. I think it was the Clip Zip was the last one that did it. So they have like the Clip Sport and different things. But I know you, I think you have, I don't know. That's a good point, Rich. The problem that I see with that is like whatever board they switch to using now is cheaper and not as powerful, but that's what everybody's using. And the old technology, if people get their hands on it, they're selling it for like $150 or so.
That's yeah, crazy. It's ridiculously priced.
Could you imagine going back in a time machine when the iPod came out and nobody wanted these things anymore and just bought a truckload?
And then sell them like...
And sell them 20 years later when everybody wants them.
And the batteries don't work anymore.
Well, you know what? I had... When I was working in Manhattan... I had the, oh gosh, who is it? Creative Zen Nano, and it ran on a AAA battery. So easy just to drop another AAA battery in when the battery went dead.
I remember those.
I still got it. It's a couple feet away from me in a box.
Yeah, there was the iRiver devices took a battery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
iRiver, the Creative Movo, I remember that one. I had the... The Zen, which was a weird one. That one.
I had the Zen video player. I still have it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Zen one, I never could get working on Linux. Now, I will say this. My favorite one that did also work on Linux, which I don't know if I might still have. It had 20 gigabyte hard drive on it. Was one of Joe Bourne's devices. It was the Neuros MP3 player. Which had a lot of promise. That one had a hard drive.
Technology,
yeah.
that we have available to us. How hard is it to get some, you know, a small system on a chip, program it, get a, you know, single board,
make an MP3 player out of a Pi?
Well, not even that. Just like real dedicated hardware, as opposed to like a Pi Zero player. Which there used to be, like, MP3 players, they called them Minties. You'd make them in an Altoids tin.
Yeah.
The Minties or the builds. Minty Boost? Because I remember the Minty Boost, which was the charger, but...
No, they... You can even find, like, the Minty gaming systems.
Oh, no way. Cool.
Using the Raspberry Pi Zero and, what, Retro Arch...
I'll tell you the other technology thing that drives me crazy is most alarm clock radios for your nightstand aren't, you know, SDR. They're discrete components. I'm like, serious? You're using 1970s technology in this thing?
Well, and 7-segment displays, too.
Right, yes.
Yeah. Makes me almost want to get another Google Home Hub to put in my bedroom for an alarm clock. But to be honest, I use my phone for an alarm clock. So
who does? Which reminds me, I got to set my clock for 5:30 in the morning.
But yeah, I totally get where you're coming from with that, Rich, and with Dan. You know, I don't get the rapid obsolescence with some devices like. You know, like I got that Aspen Hybrix, which is a $99 laptop, very, very similar to the Pinebook. Almost makes me wonder if I can buy the replacement motherboard and put it in the same frame, because it's got an 11-inch screen versus the 14 that the one you have, Rich, the one that Dan now has for the moment. But the only Linux that, because it came with Remix 2. The only Linux that actually has been reported to work is the Xenial Zaris, which is now as old as what's on my G4, because I have a G4 PowerBook. It's sitting behind me. But I can't, you know, any of the PowerPC Macs are pretty much, you know, the OSs are all 4 or 5 years old now. That's as old as the newest you can get on them. So they're, for the most part, obsolete because every Linux distro, even Debian, has pretty much gotten rid of support for PPC. The only kind of support you can get is for power, specifically the IBM machines. So, but these machines are 10 or 15 years old, and they're pretty much obsolete and almost useless. So it shouldn't be that way, because it's not like a 1 gigahertz processor is slow, but it's crazy. Because anything that was new even 5 years ago is almost almost completely obsolete, depending on what it is.
I'm still rocking a 7-year-old MacBook Pro.
Oh, I know. Yep. You're lucky, because eventually...
they're going to cut it off.
Well, I know Apple may have already done that, but...
Well, you know what? Then I'm just going to throw, you know, Ubuntu on it. That's going to be...
Yep. There you go.
And actually, I couldn't get Ubuntu 19.04 on my unibody MacBook. I was kind of shocked. I nuked and paved. I don't know what I was running before that. You know, 16.04, 17.04, something. And I figured I'd drop 19.04. I could get the OS loaded, but it would not boot. So, Dan, do you have Pinebook thoughts? Did I miss that?
All right. So, here's the problem I have with the Pinebook is I didn't do much with it this week. I tried, but I was playing around.
Wait, I thought you were going to tell me it was folded in half because I pissed Joel off, and he did that to get in a smaller envelope.
Yeah, it had a hole right in the center of it. So the Android looked pretty neat on it, but whenever I was like trying to like just browse the web, it was god awful slow. It was terribly slow rendering pages on different sites. So I was like curious to try one of the distributions. So I got the Arch or Etcher or the Pine 64 installer or whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. Their version of Etcher that they mm-hmm. use. What is it? Pine 64 installer. And I ran that, and I grabbed the Arch image, because that's right up my alley, and put it on the 16 gig SD card that I have. And I put the card in the Pinebook, started up, but the screen was just blank, right?
What?
And sometimes it would show, like... the battery, and the battery was like extremely low, so I thought maybe I just needed to charge the battery first because it was at zero.
He plugged it in the wrong connector.
So I plugged.
Oh boy, awful.
No, that was when I first started. All right, because I wasn't even paying. I was just like, oh, here it is. It fits right in here. I thought that was a plug.
Serious? What brainiac makes those connectors the same size?
It was weird because I wasn't even thinking, like, I'm like, oh, I'm low on battery, I gotta plug it in. I wasn't even thinking of headphones, and I'm like, there it is. Uh-huh. It fits perfectly, right? I didn't even notice on the other side. But so when I went back to try it out, I was still having that problem. Like, no matter what I did, it would just be a blank screen. So I took the SD card out and it came up in Android, so I rebooted and it came up with the blank screen and wasn't doing anything. So I'm like, well, maybe I had a bad image or whatever, because I don't see any other way to tell it where to boot from. So I'm assuming something's wrong at this point. So I went back, and this time I chose Diet Pie image, and I put it on there, and I got the same result. Like, for some reason, it's not loading anything off of this SD card image that I keep building.
Now, I've never had an issue, or at least I can't recall having an issue with the, you know, Balena Etcher, boy, why do I not want to say that right? The Pine 64 installer app, which is a customized Etcher, which is now Balena, whatever, Etcher. I don't recall ever having a bad SD card image. Have you tried formatting the SD card and then doing it?
I could probably do that next.
Because I've had issues, but I, like I said, I don't recall ever having it with Etcher where I needed to format the SD card first, because sometimes it didn't handle the partitioning properly when you wrote the image. You know, and maybe I was just doing that with DD or something.
Maybe I will.
Did you happen to run the Etcher as root? Because you may need to do that. That's the only thing I could think of.
Well, when I did that, it asked me for the root password when I ran the app right, image. Yeah. And so I figured it was
okay
just,
then. Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't error out or anything. It just it didn't work.
Yeah, it won't write unless you have root. So that's guaranteed.
So I'm going to try it again this time after having wiped the card clean. I'll see. It should already have the image down. So I will choose my OS of Diet Pie again. So it's the Pinebook, not the 1080p Pinebook, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, that's what I thought. The weird thing is, it looks like it says Pinebook with an exclamation point after it, but that's not it. Where's that damn Diet Pie image? Oh, there it is. I'll try it again. We shall see. But anyway, oh, yeah, that's right. When I go to flash the drive, it asks me to put in the password. Or not my password to do it with ssudo. So we shall see. It's flashing it now. Maybe I'll get it done. All right. Rachel?
Mm-hmm.
So, can I tell you a stupid thing that pleases me?
What pleases you?
What?
Okay, right now I'm on my Note 8, but I do have a Note 4, and the problem between the Note 8 and the Note 4 is it's USB-C versus Micro-B.
Right.
But for, I don't know if it was $8 or $9, I got the wireless charging adapter that goes in under the cover on the Note 4, and it's wirelessly charging now. And I'm just shocked that it actually works.
Yeah, I did the same thing with my Note 3. I think I did it with an S3 at one point as well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I got S3s also, and I have bad battery connectors on it, so I got the wireless doohickey, and I'm going to put it in my S3.
Well, that certainly let my son get mileage out of his connector also was bad, and so we went and bought a wireless charger, and that's how he charges his phone. The only thing he doesn't like is it doesn't charge as fast as the cable did, but oh well.
Yeah, but I think
connectors.
That's right.
All right, so the one phone I always had, basically I'd play iHeartRadio, and I'd play, you know, either music or talk radio for the bird, and I just left the phone by the birdcage. And I don't know what the heck happened, whether I got like a little bit of moisture there, but it melted where the area around the connector, the plastic of the case, got melted. So I don't know if there was like a drop of moisture there or something, but it totally horked up the connector.
Yeah, I know. I think I looked, and don't know how many more payments I got left, but I know that once it's paid off, I'm definitely going to get another phone. Just because I've got Pixel 2 XL currently. It's still very working very well, but there's certain things that are starting to kind of not work as well. Like the camera. I don't know if it's never took good macro pictures or not, but if I want to take a picture of something up close, it takes me several tries to get it right. I can still get it, so
you
it's
can pay.
Not. Yeah. I'm not doing that. I've been on the same ROM refresh since I got the phone on this one. So Android's been very stable on it, but I don't want a nuke and pave. But I'm still getting the monthly updates, even on Verizon. I'm still getting them. So I have all the security updates as of May 5th. which is pretty awesome. And I would probably stick with, I want to try and wait until they bring out the Pixel 4 and the Pixel 4 XL. And even if it has a stupid hole punch in it, I'll probably go ahead and get it anyway. Because that's the new thing that especially the Android folks are doing to avoid the notch. Instead of putting a notch in there, they're putting the camera like right.
Who cares?
I don't know, millimeter or two.
That's like getting all giddy about the Star Wars preview.
Yeah, well, I kind of agree in some ways, but I think it's just a dumb place for the front camera. I'm like, you know, I just put a notch in, or just make. What's wrong with the freaking bezel? You know, see, my thing with it is the absolute fascination with edge to edge screens. It's like, whatever.
The edge to edge, I hate in the worst way, and I have the Note 8.
You have no place to hold it. Yeah, you have no place to hold it where your finger's not in the road.
I had a car mount that would actually hit the side and wouldn't let me do things because it thought somebody was touching it. So that could be a pain in the butt. I do have, I don't even know what brand case this is, but this case is actually pretty good for it and gives it pretty reasonable protection. But yeah, I think the edge-to-edge whatever bullcrap screen thing is just so you break it, you know, especially the curved. If it's flat, it's easier to protect. But if it's curved, like the Note 8, that's a whole, you know, foobar. That's just an accident waiting to happen. And it's $250 to fix. And the only authorized Samsung repair place in Florida is in Orlando. Ask me how I know.
How do you know?
You drove past it every day.
No, because I had to bring my phone there after I dropped it.
Hey, guys.
Crap is a man fry. How you
Are
doing,
you still
buddy?
Rocking the Fi Fry?
Yes, I am, actually. And it's been going good. I actually got my wife and my daughter on it and family plan as well. So it works really well. And my bill
Project
is still... My bill, like, Pivotal pays for it, is like $36 a month.
I'm only paying 10 times that.
I will gladly give you all referral codes.
See, I really, really want to switch, but, you know, I'm like...
So, you travel. How good is the Fi?
It's great. Like, I have no issue with it.
Because, you know, one of the things, I'm with Verizon because Verizon works everywhere.
Right.
And, I mean, I drove to Ohio and back this week, and I was going to stop by Joel's and... But I didn't.
I wouldn't have been here. I was busier than hell, but yeah.
And I had a crap load of guns in the car, too.
That'd have been fun.
What's your point? You were driving around.
I was driving around Ohio with a whole bunch of guns.
And that relates to your point that you...
Traveling.
Google Fi, how?
Traveling.
Right. So you don't think Google Fi would work in Columbus, Ohio?
I'm pretty sure it would work, but...
I mean, out that way, you got T-Mobile and U.S. Cellular out that way, right, Joel?
Yes.
Yeah, it bounces off of both of those networks, and Sprint, too.
And Sprint, too, right, yeah. Now, see, that's kind of... Because one of the things that I'm kind of interested in and I might grab here in the next year is... There is a company by the name of R-Finder that make a ruggedized phone/radio. Essentially, it's got a 2-meter ham radio built into an Android 6-based device, plus it also has 4G on it. The problem is the frequencies that the radio supports are not supported by Verizon. The only 4G provider that will work on it is AT&T.
Did you say Android 6?
Yeah, it's a little old.
I would not buy that thing. It's not getting any security updates or anything like that.
Well, but I'm not using it for that. I'd be using it primarily for ham radio. So, I mean,
Get a ham radio.
Well, I have those. The whole point...
Don't get it, then.
Shut up. The whole point...
Dude!
No, the whole point of why I'd like this is that there's an app called the app is also called R Finder. It's made by the same company. In fact, actually, I think there are ROM updates that will bring me up more current. But anywho, so I load the app R Finder, and I can use the phone's GPS, and it'll find the closest repeater. I press that, bam, the radio in the device is tuned to that that repeater. And it just it basically makes life so much easier. It's about $800. It's expensive.
How much is a similar ham radio?
Depends on what you're talking about. If you're talking about from the top three manufacturer, it can be between $400 and $500. If you're talking like a Radio Diddy, like my Radio Diddy, I picked it up for $65. So I mean, but I'll tell you this though, the Radio Diddy has space in there for a database for all the DMR IDs, but it only will fit 10,000 of them, and we are well above 10,000 DMR IDs in the world right now. So I can't load the whole database into the radio. And this is a problem anywhere on the planet. Right. Well, no.
How about just North America?
The thing with DMR though, Rich, is that there's these things called talk groups which connect via the internet. So I could talk to anybody in the world from anywhere I am. So I wouldn't, from another.
The magic question is, do they want to talk to you?
Well, they're always that. But anyway, with the database that's on board, it'll show you the call sign instead of the number.
So having the entire database is a function.
Yeah, having the whole entire database and have it be completely up to date and no restrictions on how many repeaters I have on the radio is awesome. Because if I go to certain places, like if I go to California, forget it. There's more repeaters in the LA area than I have room in any of my radios. So it's nice to have the problem that a lot of the and this is even the top three makers. Have with these is they're very chintzy on memory, and up until recently they didn't put things like micro SD cards on board of them so that you can
when you say
store
memory,
stuff
you're
on
talking,
board
yeah you're talking about
on board storage
RAM.
Right yeah well more yeah more or less well RAM doesn't matter but on board storage for storing things like D-Star reflectors and stuff like that. You can only keep so many on there. So, and the bad thing with especially the digital modes is that everything is expanding. You know, they started like with the ID51A. I could put the whole repeater database on it initially when I first got it, but because over time they've added more repeaters and more repeaters, the memory on board it is just too small. So it won't store all the databases because the network is growing. So and rather than just read the database off the memory card, which it does have a memory card, it reads it off of onboard storage, which is kind of awful. The RFinder radio doesn't have that problem. Now, granted, RFinder is only going to work on the RFinder K1 is the one I'm specifically looking at. Does not support D-Star. Which I'm okay with, I'll buy another D-Star radio. Ain't no big deal, but
So Dan Fry, going back to the original question, you're confident traveling with Google Fi anywhere?
I've been traveling for almost 3 years consistently, and I've been in besides here in the U.S. I've been in Canada and in both coasts. I've been in Ireland. I've been all over the place with this thing, and I've not had an issue with it.
No freaking way. That is like the best endorsement I ever heard.
And even going overseas and up into Canada, like you pay the same rate for internet access. You don't get charged extra for being like roaming.
That's not bad crazy. Wow.
Now, I'm not saying it's every country, but I'd say there's like 137 countries where you get the same rate and the same speed, you know, in all of the countries in the world.
So what handset are you using and how much is it?
This is a Pixel 3, but I've been considering actually getting my wife one of the Pixel 3 A's because I've been hearing nothing but good things about it, except for there seems to be a few that are like powering off on their own. I don't know what that, I haven't heard an update, you know, about them yet. But for the most part, everybody like is raving about this phone, and it is like throwing this whole like $1,000 flagship thing like out the window.
It, all right, so how much is it?
The 3A is what, $399?
You're freaking kidding me.
No.
Yeah, it is.
The 3A
and the 3A XL are very cheap now.
Yeah, the 3A XL is $499, I believe, and the 3A is $399.
It's better than a couple thousand.
Dan, I think you just came in after I said, I dropped my phone 6 months ago, the Note 8, and it was $250 to get the screen replaced.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, you could have bought this brand new for another $50.
Wow.
Dude, I got to talk to the family, but my wife and daughter are, you know, Apple fanboys, so...
So you can put an iPhone on Google Fi now.
No way.
Yeah. Now, I'm not going to say it gets all of the same kind of things you get out of an Android phone with it, but you still get coverage, you know, wherever you're at, and internet and all that stuff, so...
So the Pixel doesn't have a stylus, though, correct?
No, but you can get a third-party stylus, and it just doesn't shove down inside of it.
See, that's I mean, I don't use the stylus. It's just the idea of it shoving in, like you said.
I don't need to sodomize my phone with a stylus.
yeah, you know, just my sausage fingers don't really work so good on the phone, so I need a stylus.
Yeah, I'm looking at this thing I was talking about. It still says Android 6, but there are OS updates. I've seen a 9.0 update for their other handset, so.
Dude, you go to buy two. You go to buy one for your wife and one for yourself.
She wouldn't carry this thing. But, yeah, we'll see. You know, a lot'll change here in about 9 months. That's not happening. But no, 9 months from now is about when my next bonus will hit. So, anywho, we'll see. I don't know.
So, big question I'm suffering with. I had to work from 7 o'clock till I don't know, like 9-ish. Do I go to work tomorrow?
7 a.m. to 9?
No, 7 p.m. I mean, after going 9 to 5, yeah.
Oh.
So then you went from 7 p.m. to 9.
Show up 2 hours late.
Yeah, pretty much.
Or just leave 2 hours early, right?
Or that, yeah.
Wait, do you work
from home?
Sometimes
it's a whole lot harder to leave early than it is just to show up late.
You're missing out here. Long lunch.
Oh, there you go. That's a good one.
So, all right. I kind of... And they've been kind to me. I took Monday off because I was driving back from Ohio. It was only 14 hours. And Tuesday, my wife's in D.C. right now, so somebody had to watch my daughter because she's 17 and, you know, can't be home alone. And
party!
What?
No, it's not that. She just doesn't want to be home alone. But I would have no problem leaving her alone. Absolutely no second thought in my head about it. They let me work Tuesday, which was super nice, even though Tuesday was an in-office day, and Thursday is an in-office day. The other thing is I got to pick up some gear because I was in Orlando, some ammo, and, you know, there's a specific ammo I want, and a muzzle brake because I was going to go shooting again Saturday with some guys. And I've found the things I want in Orlando. So I'm thinking I want to go there. The question is, do I, like you guys said, show up late, leave early, take a long lunch is really the formula.
But what's your work policy?
I forget what the precise policy is, but they do cut you a break if you work after hours. They're pretty flexible on it. But the other part about it is I feel like I've kind of really, like this week, run to the edge of the limit as far as favors go. So I think I'd look like a real good employee if I show up tomorrow.
Then maybe you should show up tomorrow, make them happy, so that they're going to scratch your back later on down the line.
Yeah, just, yeah, you know, yeah. Check if they want to let you off early on Friday or something.
Well, Friday is a work-from-home day, and Friday's always a 3 o'clock day.
Man.
Uh-huh.
What company is this?
I'll tell you later.
Ah. Just message me on MeWe.
He's Flying Rich at FlyingRich.com.
Just message me at MeWe.
MeWe, I'll have to remember how to log in.
Mm-hmm.
To message you on MeWe. Like the other one you got, right?
On Google mm-hmm. Plus or Mastodon. Or what's the one where you have a federation and you run it on a Raspberry Pi and they all connect to each other if you want them to?
Yeah, it could be Mastodon. You can run anything on a Pi. So, but I think you're thinking of Identica, but now it's Laconica.
Yeah, Laconica.
It's something with... your bits secure your bits, I think. Dor's going to be yelling at me because he knows precisely what it is.
Oh, are you talking about the one they use? I want to say Mumble, that's not right.
No, there is something that Dor used, but there's another product out there that runs on like Raspberry Pi, and you can have it work as a federated type device.
I don't know.
Like something secure your bits or something like that.
More importantly, Rich, did you get your Atomic Pi?
Well, okay, so that's another reason I want to go to Orlando. Not only do I want to pick up a nozzle break, but I was figuring I would be in Orlando this week, and I wasn't. So yes, it got delivered yesterday to Orlando. So I'm gonna cruise by and pick that up. So yeah, I got three stops I want to make at lunch. I got to cruise by my crash pad. Grab the Atomic Pi, cruise by a gun shop, and then another gun shop.
Sounds like you'll need those 2 hours during lunch.
Yep. Do it.
So I got a science-y related question.
Uh-oh. Because
for some reason, I'm not quite getting
it. We have sarcastic-y answers.
And it's bothering me. And Joe or Manfry, you might actually know the answer to this a lot better. So I when I work out, I use free weights. That's what I have. I have a bench. It's all free weights. Now, there's some exercises I can't do with free weights, and one of them is the lat pull down, right? So
you can do it with free weights. If how you're good with ropes and a pulley. And
okay, now that becomes a little more like, where am I going to set all that up? I might as well just go buy a pulley
system. Joe, you're way too complex with that.
So
all you have to do is get the gravity boots and you do it upside down.
Good,
but I
switched. Well, go ahead, Dan. Finish what you were going to say.
So we have a Y membership, and the Y is a block from where I live, like a block and a half. So I'm like, well, I'll just go up and do some of those exercises because I'm already paying for the membership. So I might as well go. So I do a rock and lat pull down, and I also do a couple other exercises. One of them is a drag push down, which is taking so that same like pulley type system that you would use, the machine that you would use for the lat pull down, you put on just the ropes and you keep your arms like right against you, just slide right down your body.
Oh,
and you get to the down as far as your
you turn out your wrist.
Yeah, you turn out your wrist, you go along your body, and you do the control back. Now, here's my problem. The first time I went in and did this, right, I did it on this machine, and I'm like, well, let's see what I can start with. And I was like, holy crap. Like, I was struggling at 30 pounds. And I was like, that's weird. Okay, I thought it would be a little better, but that's no problem. I'll build up. Next time I went in there, I'm like, why did I have such a problem before? Because like 30 pounds, I was just going like gangbusters. And in the time after that, so I've been like, this is the third.
I wonder if somebody had a plate on the top of that.
Well, no, it didn't, right? So at the fourth week, like this was my fourth week today. So I had gotten up to 60 pounds because it was just, I was only incrementing by 5 pounds every time because it was just so easy. And then I got on there and I'm like, what is going on? It's like 10 times harder than it was the last time I did this. Now, what had happened was I had not realized that, well, I mean, I kind of realized, but so this machine has, there's a weight bench part to it. And on the other side of the weight bench is the lat pull down part. And then, like, so if the weight bench is north and the lat pull down is south, on the east or on the west, there are two pulley systems that you could actually do kind of like, I don't know, you could stand in the middle and have one in each arm and do exercises like that. Yep. And then on the other side is another pulley system. Now, the first time I had done it was on that pulley system, right? And then when I went to the other pulley system, completely different. And I'm like, why is this such different? Because 60 pounds should be 60 pounds.
The heavier one is broken.
And so I asked one of the people that were the trainer people that were there. And I said, why is this so drastically different? And the response was, it's at different angles, so the resistance is different. Which I'm like, okay, but now that the more I think about it, like I'm still coming down at almost close to a 90 degree angle from, not exactly a 90, from the pulley itself on both of these. So I don't see the angle of the actual exercise from the pulley to my body.
If it's the same number of pulleys and you're moving the cable the same distance, it should be the same.
Yeah.
But shouldn't 60 pounds be 60 pounds either way?
If they're talking about like the angle that the weights are sitting at, then that could have a slight effect.
But they're both like 90 degrees. Like
they should be 90 degrees. But
so it, like, I did see that it seemed the angle like of the pull down different? Between the two pulleys was a little different.
Is the angle you're pulling down different?
I did not notice, like I said, it was almost like being directly straight
right.
under
okay.
it.
Then, yeah, it sounds like they're talking out their butts.
Because, like, I was really surprised. I'm like, wait a minute. I was knocking out 60. Like, I had the watch time, so I was at, like, 12 reps per set at 65 last time, and I'm at 65 now, and I can't even do 5 because it's like twice the weight, it feels like. I was surprised. I was like, man, if angles are that different,
well,
but again, 60
just ignore the weight.
Should be 60.
Just ignore the weight. Do what feels comfortable.
Well, I thought I was doing what felt comfortable. It didn't make sense to me. So now I kind of... Yeah. All right. Right, man, Fry?
Right. So I recently switched from... I have only free weights at my house too, right? But I switched to... I got a series of bands, right? That they range from, you know, with the resistance, you know, the resistance from them would be like 5 pounds all the way up to like 125, 150 pounds.
Are these the Harry Reid bands?
No. No. I don't know who Harry Reid is.
These wear eye protection so you don't knock an eye out.
I don't know who Harry Reid is.
Senator from, is it Utah?
I got you. So these bands,
somehow he didn't get beat up, but he lost an eye and had a bunch of broken ribs because he was working out with the elastic band in the bathroom. But he wasn't beat up.
Okay, gotcha. So I travel with these, right? And they come, they just come in like a small bag, like a small, like, you know, kind of pull tie bag or whatever. I tell you what, I have gotten more results out of these things in the last month and a half that I've been doing these than I have with, you know, using my free weights for the last like 2 or 3 years. I feel like I am
crazy. And you can travel with it.
Yes. They fit right in the top of my backpack right there. It's a company called Undersun Fitness.
Is it that you're doing higher amounts of reps?
Well, no, I wouldn't say I'm doing higher amounts of reps. I'm doing different exercises where the first kind of three sets, well, let's say this. The first set usually is about 20 reps, and then the next two sets are lower at 10, but you kind of pull a little more taunt on these, you know, maybe you shorten the length between wherever it's wrapped around or tied to or something like that, right? And then you do like a really fast set at the very end. So it's like four sets where you go 20 with a little bit lighter resistance on it, two sets of 10 where you have more resistance, and then go back to where you are in the first set, and then really, really fast, like, you know, 15 reps as fast as you can, not as fast as you can, but much faster than what you were normally doing. And I tell you what, I have been amazed by like I'm like noticing like this, like a lot of like just kind of like muscle appearing in places where I had not seen it before, right? Where it's like down my lats or you know, my triceps and all that kind of stuff. But Dan, you were asking about like pull downs, right? Like this thing like has like an anchor that you just kind of like loop over a door and then run a thing through it, and then you can do your lat pull downs, right? That you kind of just, you know, get down on your knees and then pull them from there, right?
That's exactly what I was gonna ask.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I have a Planet Fitness membership, so I go to any Planet Fitness nationwide with their membership.
As long as it's not a Monday.
Doesn't matter. I can go to Monday. I have black membership, so I can go anywhere.
Yeah, well, as long as it's not a Monday.
Why do you say that, though?
I hate going to Planet Fitness on a Monday. It's packed wall to wall.
Okay, never mind. Anyway... So, because I was wondering the same thing, because I was wanting to add weights back, because I'd recently just been going over and just doing cardio, and what I want to have something like this so that when I do travel that I don't have to find the Planet Fitness to go do that, but I don't know if I want to do that, this or not, I'd still pay for Planet Fitness because I use the cardio machines there. So I didn't know. I don't know. I don't know if I want to spend that much money. It's like, what, $90, I think? I just did found them on Amazon. But anyway, you know, something to think about, though. I might try something like that just to throw it in the suitcase.
I did pick up resistance bands about the time I started having to do physical therapy for my torn rotator cuff, and they are extremely helpful.
Yeah, and I'm really happy with how these things are performing for me.
Right. I also started using them for my physical therapy for my hip.
Nice. You got what, the five band set?
Yeah. And I have not even undone the rubber band on the biggest ones yet.
Yeah, like the 50 through 120s. And
yeah, I haven't had a need to yet, but because the other ones have been plenty for me right now.
Interesting. And I'm glad you answered, because one of my questions was going to be what do you anchor the thing to? But I'm glad you answered that.
Yeah, it you know, I just kind of use that little. It's like this little foam loop thing, right? And you just weave it through it and then throw it over the door. And so people probably walk by my hotel room and be like, what the hell is that thing hanging out there?
But you could do it in the bathroom door.
Well, all these doors are sliders. So I were to pull on it and do it, I would probably rip it right off its track.
but the ones going out, or if you happen to have like an adjoining door, you know, then those ones are normal, you know, with the deadbolt and stuff like that.
I would say it might work on that too, maybe. Oh my goodness. Huh. Because you don't have to have the other door open in order to do that.
Right. And even for like the first month, like nothing is anchored. So it's all just in your own like upper body stuff that you're doing, right?
And you have a level of consistency too, though. Yeah. Right. Because in a different place, you don't have to rely on what gym service you
whatever piece of what, shit equipment they have in the hotel gym. There.
Oh man, this place is immaculate here. This one up in Cambridge where I'm at.
Was it Marriott?
Yeah, it used to be. It used to be just like a hotel room that they converted, but they had a lot of stuff like shoved into that room. And then next to it was a pool. Next to it was a pool with a sauna. Well, they took a few months and filled in the pool, got rid of the sauna, and opened up this whole area. Holy cow! Like they have these matrix. Treadmills and bicycles. There's like a whole like Peloton room, but wow. It's not Peloton. Yeah, but it's got like a big screen on it, so you can. There's like an iPad attached to the wall that you can pick programs, and it plays it up on there. Free weights, like tons of free weights. They have a Smith machine. They've got all like probably a machine similar to what you were describing, but they've got two or three of them, and they're like brand new. So like all the pulleys and all that stuff are all like. They're not, they don't stick. They don't have a, like sometimes you can get on those things and that you can tell they just have not been maintained in a while, like maintenance in a while.
That's pretty much like, all the time.
The ellipticals at my gym, I get on one, it's clunky, like a bearing shot, get on another, it has another fault. I'm like, I'll go to the gym and I'll try like two or three ellipticals before I find one that doesn't have some flaw in it. And I'm like, dude, my membership, I keep paying. You need to keep maintaining.
Yeah. Freaking annoying. And that's kind of my travel. It is a pain in the butt. So if I had something like that, it might not be. Because you can usually count on them having a treadmill. Maybe an elliptical. Although I hate the elliptical. I won't do that. But... And I like the arc trainer that Planet Fitness has. That's kind of my go-to cardio machine over there.
All right, can I tell you about my internet usage issue?
No. Another one? Go ahead.
So they're billing me $80 additional internet usage for the month of March. And I also got a letter from the FCC saying, you should have received within 10 days of this communication a, you know, snail mail letter from Comcast. And I get a call today from Comcast, you know, some woman from the executive's office. Like, she's like, we see you haven't gotten the letter. I'm like, that's right. She's like, oh, well, Richard Hughes made the complaint and Terry Hughes is the account holder. So the letter really didn't say anything. It just said, haha, you know, we're not telling you anything.
Nice. And then she
says that, you know, I mean, I share all the account information with my wife. So she says, you have to add the individual to the account. I'm like, okay. I said, hey, I just got my bill and it says they're tagging me for $80 internet, you know, overage. Oh, I can't help you with that. That's this department. I said, you know, lady, I didn't say it that way, but I'm like, you need to dog food. You would get yourself into the C-suite. I'm like, how is Comcast's, you know, what is it? What do you call it? The not social score, social rating. What do you call it? Customer satisfaction rating.
Like negative 50?
Yeah, I'm like, how is Comcast's customer satisfaction rating? She's like, I don't think we're the top. I'm like, yeah, I think you're at the bottom of all ISPs. I think you're at the bottom. I said, I think what you need to do is call in as though you're a customer with a problem and see the hardship that we have and figure out how to fix that. And you would get your butt into the C-suite. And, you know, it didn't seem to get any traction. But, so, all I got to tell you is if you have a problem with your ISP, go to the FCC website, enter a complaint.
No. Have the person whose name is on the account go to the FCC website.
There you go.
After a complaint.
Ding, ding, ding. Yes. So now I got another FUBAR situation, which there is nobody that wants to help me with. I have a SunPass sticker on my car. The same car, I've had a EasyPass from New York. The EasyPass has not been in my car in 10 months. Although, in November, December, and February, I went through the Orlando area, and I guess my transponder, my SunPass transponder, did not register, or it was just told by plate that they have a camera at the exit.
But your EasyPass did.
But it went, even though there's no EasyPass in the car, it's in my garage on a shelf, it charged EasyPass and not SunPass.
Brilliant. Talk about
Florida resident on a Florida toll in a Florida registered car with a Florida SunPass. So I'm trying to get these kind people, and kind people isn't the word I was thinking of, to help me. So I call New York Easy Pass, and I get somebody like on a bad radio show imitation of a CSR. He's got one of those voices like, dude, quit making that voice. That's not your real voice. And totally unhelpful. They're like, well, you didn't pay this fee that we're charging you, so we closed your account. I'm like, well, how can I see the tolls I'm getting charged for? I can't tell you. I'm like, you can't tell me. He's like, well, I'm not supposed to tell you. I'm not supposed to tell you because the account's been closed. I'm like, oh my God.
Yay.
And then I call SunPass, and SunPass like, oh yeah, you know, you'll get that resolved in like 7 to 10 days. I'm like, I entered the complaint on the 30th of April. March, like March 30th. I'm like, how many days ago was that? They're like, 22 days. I'm like, yeah, huh? And so now apparently in Florida, there's 5 different organizations that handle tolls and charges. So it was E-Pass, not EasyPass, Florida E-Pass. Florida E-Pass handles Orlando tolls. So they're the ones that would have read my plate and sent the charge to somebody else. I found somebody who's helpful, but maybe not as competent or not as competent enough to resolve my issue quickly. And he says, I don't have any tolls for your car. I'm like, dude, I drive in and out of Orlando every week, usually twice a week. You should have tolls on a regular basis from my car. And I hate to say it, I think what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go to small claims court, sue everybody. And when they realize they got to send a lawyer at $1,000 an hour to small claims court to represent themselves, they're going to come and help me. Because this is, I can't tell you how many hours. The biggest thing in my life is reciprocity. If I have to call 15 fucking, different departments in your organization, you should have to call 15 effing departments in the Hughes Compound Southern Command organization to get anything from me. And you should be on hold for 45 minutes and have a representative get back to you, press 6 for this. The Florida SunPass, you can't push 0 or some code to get a human to talk to. You got to fall into all of these pre-sorted categories, or somehow you fall through the crack and get an operator. But it's mystery meat. It's just almost impossible to get somebody.
Bugs the ever-living crap out of me, because in this day and age, customer service should be pretty easy to do, you would think, but it's not.
And here's the thing. I do everything never to talk to someone. I will research the heck out of it so I don't get that idiot on the phone that just knows, you know, the decision matrix that works the tree. And it's like, huh, I can't help you with that, sir. And everybody has pointed at the other organization. SunPass told me it's E-Pass. New York Easy Passes. Well, if you prove you didn't pay, I got collection notices from New York Easy Pass. It's like, really?
And you haven't been to New York in what, years?
Right, right. Correct. And the reason my New York Easy Pass went south is because I got a new credit card issued. Otherwise, it would have just charged on my credit card. And the reason I didn't see anything of that is because it's sending to an email account that I don't look at a regular basis. I know I wouldn't expect to be charged by Easy Pass for something I should have been charged for SunPass, because I was in Florida, in Orlando, in my Florida car as a Florida resident getting off a Florida exit. And I said, you know, and of course, knowing everything like I do only hurts you. I'm like, you need to query your database and look at the charges for this plate. And what's happening is the algorithm that you're using found the first match and sent the bill there, as opposed to finding the first match in Florida and sending the bill. But that's the crap and how it works.
It's too difficult, isn't it?
Dude, honestly, I'm ready to become Amish. I am so ready to become Amish. This is all I want to do is farm and not have electricity. That's my goal in life.
He wants to be Thanos.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm gonna be Thanos. But Thanos gets killed in the end.
All right, stop. You guys ruined it for me last time. Stop. I haven't seen it yet. I've had no time to get there.
Do you want the other spoilers?
Yo, shut tell up. He's dead? I'm leaving now.
No, we like it.
Well, shut up.
Did anybody,
really?
Did anybody notice Google problems today? Google Cloud problems today?
Nope.
Okay. Did you say Google Clown problems?
Not come on, Google. Google.
Oh man, we had a massive network outage earlier this week.
In Google?
No. All of our labs offices were like completely shut out of network of the internet.
Oh, is this an internal problem?
Well,
you're totally sure.
I don't understand. I mean, it was something that our VPN provider or something like that was doing. I don't know quite what it was, but like all of like clients come to us and they work with us in our offices, and like there was like nothing to be done. Like everybody was like,
oh man.
I am not in one of the offices. I'm at a client site, so it didn't affect me. But you know, there's some 2,500 people, you know, around the country, you know, in our different labs offices that are all working there, expecting to be, you know, productive and doing stuff. So.
And they're all on extended lunch. Is Memorial Day weekend this weekend?
It is.
Yes, thank God.
Jeez, why, Joel?
Just to get an extra day away from work. That's all.
I thought you were gonna say
there was a
Hawaii.
Slip up right there. There was a slip up right there.
No, that's for Southeast Linux Fest.
He caught himself.
I'm by myself for Southeast Linux Fest, and that's gonna be awesome. Oh, and the Sheraton Charlotte Airport. Guess what, Man Fry?
What's that?
It's a Marriott hotel now.
Yeah, they're all Sheratons are Marriotts. Yep.
Yep. So I get points. Yay!
Dude, since I talked about that trip to Disney and stuff like that, that we booked all through like Marriott, I am back up already over 550,000 Marriott points.
Well, you go what every week, right?
Yeah, for the most part. But like just from the beginning of the year when we blew most of it away on the hotel and airfare, right, for that down there with mostly Marriott points, like I'm already back up. I'm 200,000 points away from where I was when I booked that trip.
Very cool. I mean, that's one nice thing about, you know, traveling, the rental car, you know, getting all the points, loyalty points. Because at least then there's a personal benefit to you for selecting these things if you do have a choice.
Yeah.
Well, we gotta start wrapping this show up.
Mm-hmm. I get up at 5:30 in the morning.
Who does?
Me do. I gotta drive to Orlando. Oh.
Well, that's when I get up to work out. Well, I'm at 5. All right. Everybody have a safe and happy Memorial Day in the United States.
And Boxing Day in Canada, right?
That's December 26th.
Oh, wait. Wasn't it Queen Victoria Day, like Tuesday? I think it was Victoria Day. You
know, Monday is a bank holiday in Europe.
Is it EU Day in Europe?
I have no idea. I just know it's a bank holiday.
It's thank God we have unelected officials, bureaucrats making decisions for our lives from now on.
Right. All right, so have a nice holiday. I'm going to play out the promo. Say goodnight, Joel.
Nighty-night.
Here are your promos.
Oh, my God. It's Hacker Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
The Jack Attack Podcast. Where chic,
oh dear,
meets geek.
Ones and zeros, ones and zeros, ones and zeros.
Powered by Linux.
Linux.
You my fun. Recorded in Windsor, Nova Scotia. With your hosts, John Watson and Kelly Penguin Girl.
A girl?
A girl.
A girl?
It's the Jack Attack. That's the JAKattack.com. Time well wasted.
Hi, folks. This is Chatter. Gay Wisher Haunty Magoo 5150 and I have started a new podcast. Yeah, I know we should have gotten Brian Lunduke to do the voiceover, but he wanted a script and none of us are any good at scripting language. Anyway, it's Linux Lugcast. We're at linuxlugcast.com, IRC channel, pound Linux Lugcast on Freenode. We record on the first and third Fridays of the month, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 0200 UTC. We talk about things we've tried, things we got to work, things we failed to get working, things we built, and things we broke. Email us at feedback@linuxlugcast.com, and if we don't know the answer, we'll just tell you to install Arch. That's a joke, son. So join us as we stifle the outcry of voices everywhere for another Linux podcast.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush.
Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah.
All right.
Yippee-yahoo.
Let's see if I get this one right. This one. Causing all sorts of problems. All right. Say goodnight, Joel. I'm stopping the recording.
Good night, Joel.
Well. See, and for some reason, this one system is
$3 a block out there, or $3 for a case, I should say, at the grocery store. I should get some chicken and stuff to put in there.
Chicken mushrooms, peas, corn.
Oh, yeah.
onions, garlic, ginger, spinach, kale.
You may want to check out the like your local Asian stores there, Dan. They might have them there. They're worth picking them up, I think.
All right. Oh, we still got 8 minutes.
We're going to talk about Huawei a little bit because I think it's an interesting story.
I got some stuff. Ooh, yeah, Joel. You're going to love it. You're going to love it.
Oh, yeah.
I can't say anything because I won't give it away. I don't want to give it away. I don't.
I know what it is. You finally got Arch running on that Pinebook, huh?
Oh, no. No. We're not gonna go. I'm not even gonna reveal anything about it. Anything about it yet?
Dun, 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 dun. Looks like Oklahoma's getting some tornadoes again tonight. Luke bumped a car across the street.
Did he take off? Did
no. Never come back? He's back. What he's doing is backing out of the driveway.
Yeah.
And barely touched the guy. Black guy really went off on him. And I'm like, dude, really? You don't have to do that. He was an asshole. But anyway, so.
Jeff to exchange insurance?
That's all they did. They didn't cite anybody. He was even parked the wrong direction. He was parked on the
Wait, the cop showed up?
Yeah. Well, he called him. Yeah. The guy called him.
Because where'd you
I could. He bumped bumpers, all right? If you look on ours, you can't even tell. There was what might have looked like a scuff mark on there, but I reached down there and I wiped it off with my fingers.
When he they actually were here. Called the police for a little bumper, like,
and wow. It was a rental car too.
Oh, his was oh, well, he might.
It was a rental. No, I don't think so. I mean, because I've had rental cars before, and generally, first off, if your company is okay with it, and mine has been every single time I've done it, take the insurance. Just do it, you know. And then that way you don't have to worry about it. They just take care of it. Odds are, if it's a rental car company, they'll just buff it out and they'll put it back on the road. They won't care. I couldn't even. It could have been already there. You know, because it was a black mark. And I'm like, how does my silver car put a black mark on your car? Yeah, it was hardly even worth doing it. But the guy was. I think he's just freaking out because it was a rental car, but and he probably didn't know any better. Same house. I had the car. Now I think it's a different family in there, but when we still had our old cruise, the one that Luke wrecked last summer, two of their kids got in the car, put the car in neutral, and it went across the street and slammed our car. I got nice neighbors. Actually, I got dickhead neighbors.
That's what people normally mean when they say they have nice neighbors.
True that, true that.
Well, how you doing, Joe?
Not bad. No complaints.
Got new power tools there, Dano. Bought a new weed eater, and it's one of those ones you can do the attachments so that you can put like a pole on it and trim your tree.
I don't know if you were talking about Windows power tools?
No, like power weed whacker. Tool power tools. Windows has some pretty pretty awesome power tools, to be honest, nowadays, but especially the subsystem for Linux. It's pretty powerful. Works for me. Prusa Slicer Edition 2.0 was released today, too. I think it was today. So I got a sliced version of our Maker coin that I'm going to bring to Southeast Linux Fest. Just trying to see if the new extruder will... I'm just trying to get it dialed in right now. It's a little bit overstuffed right now. That means it's putting out too much plastic.
Over extrusion, it's a problem.
Just a little bit. It
means you can speed up your print, though.
Yeah, it's right on the edge. You know what? I didn't think about that. Might try that. I mean,
well,
for
it's
under not...
extrusion, you slow down your print, so.
Yeah, it's not that far off. It doesn't look that bad. But the coins, now it might just be the design on the coins, because the self 2019 text, it's supposed to be all completely open, but it's kind of filled in a little bit.
Yeah, I've been lazy and I haven't fixed mine yet.
I mean, my cubes are coming out good.
Joe!
Who?
Joe.
Joe, did you get my message on MeWe?
Have I been on MeWe? I have been avoiding social media in general. It's become extremely toxic.
You ain't kidding.
Well, the reason why I was asking is because now I got to get back on there.
Somebody was asking a question about Texas Linux Fest.
If you wanted to meet up at Texas Linux Fest.
Oh, I'm not seeing yours. Mintcast, Linux Mint, Distro Hopper Digest, Linux Lugcast.
It was in the chat section, I think.
Yeah, it was in the chat, but I had just messaged you. Not in a chat, just, you know, Google Plus style, where I just sent you a direct message.
Yeah, I'm looking for it. I don't see it.
Whoa, what happened, Joel?
Ah, here we go. Mentioned you in a post.
There we go. Yeah, that the wrong way to do it.
Yeah. And the answer is no, I didn't see it.
All right. there you go. I forget who it was. It had to restart Firefox. It got updated. Right.
I don't think that I'm subscribed to the Linux Link Tech Show on MeWe.
Not in the group? Ah. I will say this. I don't really like how the chats work on MeWe, but that's about the only thing. Did you see that cheap-ass tablet I put there in the MeWe there, Dan?
Yeah, I also saw the person asking. Who was it that asked? Does it perform good? I was thinking to myself, there is no way. We should talk about it on the show.
$99 10.1-inch tablet.
We're talking about. I was just saying for the show. We should start the show. Joe's here. He said we should start the damn show. He ain't got time to wait.
Fucking go.
This is not Linux. You gotta be on point like Linux Mint Cast.
Frickin' Moo. Let's go.
All right, here we go.